You know, we have a system that pretty well works for us, but this week I had to catch up on video editing and trying to play catch up from vacation with the school and everything, and I did the last editing session on Thursday, so I left the camera at home this morning. And so we're going to try to, I've seen a lot of times on YouTube they just take the audio and they just drop in the slides, and I may do that to produce a video this week. But how many know that we don't always have to have the video camera going and all these different things to get into God's Word and to have church? You know, the past few weeks, we've been dealing with being established in truth, and we've discovered several things. Number one, there are two types of knowledge in the earth. There's the knowledge of God, there's the knowledge of the evil one. There's the knowledge that comes from the tree of life, there's the knowledge that comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that all knowledge has a spiritual aspect to it. There's a spiritual force that is empowering it. And that there is the spirit of truth and the spirit of error in the world today, and both of them are seeking to instruct us. And not just setting us down. I've had times where God has set me down and said, I want to teach you something, I want to show you something. But let me know, God also uses the circumstances of life and some of the things that we go through to teach us. But how many know so does the devil? He does too. And so I want to try to understand kind of where we are, because, guys, I have seen that you can tell two people the same thing and they don't hear the same thing, you know. And I think a lot of the answers, and I keep on going back to Torah to kind of understand where we were so that we can understand where we're going. That before getting saved, we were under the control of the Pharaoh of this world and in his bondage to him, weren't we? We were in bondage to him. And the Pharaoh's taskmasters, these spirits of error, taught us all the wrong things. How many of us have had life situations teach us all the wrong things because God wasn't in it, that we were under someone else's authority that wasn't walking with God, and that we learned a lot of the wrong things? Yet God comes on the scene, he delivers us. And guys, this is the magnificent thing when you read the book of Exodus and you compare it to the Gospels. God did not deliver the children of Israel because of their righteousness. They had become thoroughly pagan. He delivered them because of his covenant with Abraham. You have salvation this morning, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, because of his covenant with Abraham. Now, guys, once we're delivered and freed from Pharaoh, God needs to teach us who we are now, which is a very hard thing to do because the enemy wants us to obsess on who we were when he was in our lives. And so some of the questions that I've been trying to really get into this week is, why is it so difficult to establish people in truth? Now, I've been teaching, and not just here. I mean, I deal with thousands of students with the school and this, all these different things, and you try to teach them, and they can't connect the dots. They can't put two and two together. I have met ministers, and this is one of my quandaries. I've been training some guys over the years that have been in ministry 20 years before they ever came with us. They don't know the Bible. Now, you've been pastoring for 20 years and you don't know the Bible. They have become adept at socio-political flows within the church, and so they build it upon everything else but the Word of God. They build it on their personality, and they build it on all these other things. We don't have to worry about that here. I don't have one, so I'm just stuck with the Word, okay? But well, why is it so difficult to get people established in truth? And why is it that when two people see the same event, yet they come out with two different things? That's really a hard thing for police officers. One of their nightmares is if 50 people saw the event, it becomes a nightmare for the cops because they'll at least get 70 different answers. But yet they all saw the same thing. Why is it? Why is it two people can hear the same information but draw completely different conclusions? We gotta ask ourselves why. Why is that? And here's some things I've been dealing with in the church. Why is it that some people hear the truth of God's Word and yet it becomes something different than what God says? Faith becomes manipulation. I remember back in the faith movement, people were discovering that we could believe what God said and begin to believe God to help meet our daily needs. And the next thing you know, these guys are, I'm walking by faith. And they walk right up to you and say, you know, God told me you need to give me your car. No, he didn't. That's manipulation. That's witchcraft. I've seen them do that with houses. And I've seen people move from faith to manipulation, move from faith to looking to take advantage of folks and calling it faith. What caused them to hear the promises of God and they moved into that? Have you ever wondered that? Love becomes accepting everything. Well, if I love, I just got to accept everything. Everything goes. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. God's blessings become materialism and greed. How in the world can you take God's blessings? And the Bible says God adds blessings, He has riches, and He has no sorrow to it. How can you do that and end up with everything is about materialistic things? I've been in ministry, and you're judged by the car that you drive. Now, you know, you're on a whole different level if you drive a Lexus than if you drive a Ford. Well, how many know that's really kind of simple in a bad way? I never saw Jesus comparing donkeys when they went out. I mean, let's see who has the best donkeys, who has a Mercedes donkey and who has a Lexus donkey. And we're going to, in fact, the Bible says we're not supposed to treat the people different that do have wealth in the book of James. But yet now ministers, you know, how big is your, I've been asked so many times, well, you know, how big is your building and do you own it? Well, that would have been real hard for Jesus, unless he could reply, I own everything. You know, it's like, no, I don't have a ministry headquarters. I kind of, at times I work out of Capernaum, and sometimes I work out of here, and sometimes I work out of there. Could you imagine some of the questions that we demand of other ministers today because it's all materialistic? Grace becomes a license to sin. It's filling the airwaves. How in the world do you read God's word and you come up with that? Now, yes, it's very simple. Now, it's a very true answer, yet very simplistic. Well, there's a devil loose. Well, duh. But there's more than that. There's more than that. And so we need to understand some things about how we learn. Now, in Joshua 1:8, what I look at when I especially look at Joshua and I look at the Torah, God is taking His people out of bondage, out of woundedness, out of being under the taskmasters of Pharaoh. For 400 years, almost twice as long as our nation has existed, they were there. And He's got to move them from that to what they are now in Him. And so one of the things He tells them in Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, I like that connector. When I meditate on God's word, it's kind of like a software upgrade to my life. And when that software starts taking hold, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou shalt have good success. And so it's not begging the Lord to make you successful or begging the Lord to help you meet your needs. It's all of a sudden it starts doing something in your life. You're working with heaven and you've stopped working with hell. Does that make sense? And then we go on in Psalms 119, 9 through 16. I love Psalms 119. There's all kinds of good stuff in it. It's also the longest psalm in the entire Bible. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But look at this. Wherein shall a young man cleanse his ways? How many of us have done stupid stuff when we were young? Oh, I think of when I look in the Word of God, it's like, even though you entered in manhood at 13, you weren't released to do what you're supposed to do into 30 because somehow between 13 and 30, you're always stuck on stupid. I don't. Maybe it's hormones. I don't know what it is. But then you look back in your 30s and your 40s and say, now, God, how can I cleanse myself of all the stupid things that I did and the stupid attitudes that I picked up and the stupid crowd that I ran with? How? By taking heed thereof according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord God, teach me thy statutes. Isn't that a call for the Spirit of truth? Spirit, Holy Spirit, come and teach me your ways. The only way for me to overcome the stupidity of my youth and to get back on the right track is your commandments, your word, and your spirit teaching me. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in riches. Let me tell you something. When you start getting excited, as excited about the commandments of God as somebody handing you a big check, you're getting someplace. Because let me tell you something. I have had people hand me big checks, and I have had God show me absolute wonders out of the Word. The wonders of the Word are better. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect for thy ways. This is critical for us moving forward. I've got to meditate in the Word to overwrite all the junk the enemy's taught me in the past. I've got to meditate in it. You got to overwrite it. Do you know whether it's a Windows computer or a Mac computer, you can delete a file and it's not deleted until it's overwritten. That's why they have undelete programs. They just undelete it and all of a sudden it's right back, unless that section of the hard drive has been overwritten. The only way that the junk the devil has taught you, the only way you're ever going to be free of it, is it's got to be overwritten with the truth of God's Word. And you get to the place that you respect the ways of God. And let me tell you something, a lot of people in the church, they go to church, they have their fire insurance, but they don't respect the ways of God. Now, Pastor Rodhouse will tell you, but I mean, because he's been with me a long, long time, there have been situations where people have told us stuff, and I just get upset. Why? Because I have enough respect for God, I know He's not like that. Don't put God's name on that. No, I know His commandments, I know His Word. He's overwritten enough of my basic operating atmosphere, or my basic OS, my operating system, that I know how He is. And what you're doing is you're bearing false witness against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I have respect for Him. You see, if you have respect for somebody, you defend them. And see, we're at a time right now, the body of Christ isn't defending God because we don't have respect for Him. We have not really known Him. We're still stuck in who we were, and we've not let God override enough of who we are. And we're letting the world come to the place where they're actually trying to reload the old operating system. Is this making sense this morning? The church is so worried about being relevant to the world that we are coming to the place that we are irrelevant. To heaven. We're accepted by the world, we're respected by the world, but heaven has no respect for us. That needs to change. I want to respect the ways of God. You know, all of us have had someone that we really respected in our lives. Boy, if somebody said one thing off color about them, you're, nuh-uh. Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. We're watching some movie the other day, and somebody made an off-color comment about somebody's mama. And how many know there was a whooping that pursued right after that? Why? That young man had respect for his mama. Come on. And let me tell you, there's some situations that in your life, the devil needs to have a whooping opened up on him because you have enough respect for who God is and what God's done in your life. That I respect thy ways. I'll meditate. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. I read this, and at the same time, it encouraged me this morning, and it convicted me this morning, because I've forgotten some things that God's taught me. I've not done the meditating the way that I should have. I've gotten caught in some of the old software. I've got caught in some of the old ways. In fact, this week I had a hard time just for all this gelling together because there's so many ways that I could present it, but it's like, you know, you can present it and still kind of miss what God wanted to say. And finally, the Holy Spirit kind of jiggled all my gray matter together and it kind of flowed all in the right way. But guys, we need to understand some basic things of how God made us. Now, this is a diagram way back when I had taught on the leader of one, of how our minds and our souls are made up. How many know that we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body? God loves threes because it's a testimony of Him. Well, your soul, We say, you know, mind, will, of emotions. Let's go a little bit deeper. It's your conscious, your subconscious, and your unconscious. Now, what people don't know is that your computer, the computers like this computer right here, was designed after the way the human mind is. That your conscious mind is like your computer screen. You can only focus on one thing at a time. It is a misnomer that you can multitask. What that means is you can halfway do two things. How many know you cannot text and drive? Now, that's kind of hard for people to understand. Some people have a hard time chewing gum and walking. Therefore, they should not be texting and driving at the same time, okay? That in reality, we can only concentrate on one thing at a time. And so with a computer, now a computer has the ability to multitask, but a lot of times what you need are two screens. But you only have one conscious mind. Our subconscious is like our RAM. You can have all kinds of things loaded up. And there are people that teach on this, especially on productivity. They say, your RAM's limited. A lot of times I have had to upgrade the RAM on my computer because I've pushed it about as far as I can go. How many know that you can't open up the back of your head and put more RAM in? And so what the devil loves you to do is to juggle all these balls that just keep them going of unresolved things. I mean, some of them you need to write down. Some of them you need to take to the cross and nail them to the cross to clear out your RAM so that you can actually concentrate on what you're doing. But the really neat one is our unconscious mind. In your unconscious mind, you remember absolutely everything that has ever happened to you in vivid detail. What the mind is able to hold in the unconscious mind would take all the computers and hard drives on the planet. We're not talking gigabytes. We're not talking terabytes. We're talking multiple petabytes of information. And there's words above that, but I can't remember them right now. But I mean, your brain could hold the entire Library of Congress a billion times over in vivid detail. Not just information, but experiences. How you were feeling, what your surroundings were like. There's a couple of really good memories I have as a kid. One of them is coming home on Sunday down at Grandma's after church. And I mean, we're a big church compared to the one my grandpa preached at. And they had a working outhouse. How many are glad we have running water and stuff in here? But after church at the little Middlebrook Baptist Church, we would all gather at Grandma's and you would smell fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, all of the fixings, all the things to make you fat and happy. We're at her table. And my grandma could cook, let me tell you something. And every once in a while, I will catch the smell of fried chicken that's so similar that all of a sudden it triggers how it's almost like I could, that house doesn't even exist anymore. It burned down years ago. But I can feel myself walking into that house as a kid thinking, boy, we're eating good today, you know. And all the joy and all the things that go on with that memory, all that memory is stored in the unconscious mind. Our problem is not that it's not there. It's that sometimes we have a hard time retrieving that memory. That's why when there's an anointing on me to preach, and when I'm preparing, for those hours that I'm preparing, guys, there are times, and this is this portion of my library here, I can remember everything that I have ever read. I can remember every sermon that I've ever heard preached, every lecture that I've ever heard given. The Holy Spirit allows me to access my unconscious mind so that I can retrieve that information. Now, when the Holy Spirit's anointing isn't on me to do that, you could hand me $1 million and I couldn't do it. Say, I'll give you this if you could. But when that anointing's there, I can even tell you, if I've read a book, I can tell you what side of the page it's on and what page number it's on. That's the power of the unconscious mind. But how'd that thing get programmed? Well, you feed it with information? No. You feed it with experience first. There's always experience. We as humans, now we have discovered, guys, that children, even grown-ups, can remember the feelings that their mother had when they were in the womb. If the mother's under stress and the baby's not wanted and rejected, that baby will come out of the womb as its very basic operating system is rejected. The world didn't want me. It's there, and everything else gets written on the top of it. Even as a baby, as you come out, what do you learn? It's experiences. I'm loved, I'm held, I'm nurtured, I'm taken care of. That child doesn't get that, they're greatly stifled. And sometimes I wonder with me, because I do real good with tasks, but I have a hard time a lot of times in social situations. Well, the first 3 months of my life, I lived in an incubator. I feel more comfortable with one of these than I do with people. I was surrounded by machines. At three months old, mama, no, machine. But that's there. And as they grow, then we start adding information as we teach them. So it's feelings and experience first, then information. And the feelings and the experience can actually taint the information. Then we have poop heads in our life. That is, I'm making that a theological term. We have people with their own problems that come into our lives that have already been fed lies of the enemy, and they're living those lies, and they do something or they say something to you that infects you with that lie. It's a virus. It infects you with this virus of this lie. And a lot of times it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with them. How many know the meanest kid in school is the most miserable kid in school and has the poorest home? Now, he may have material things, but there is anger and hatred and abuse and a lot of different things going on in that home, whether he has a penny or whether he has the best things that anybody could have. And to be truthful, he would trade all the gadgets and everything else just for a mom and dad would really love him. Because a lot of times you'll find those kids, if they end up with a friend that has a good mom or dad, they're always over there. And so these people come into our lives and they sow lies into our life. Remember, with all knowledge, it's represented by the fruit of the tree of life and the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when you eat of that fruit, it has seed. And it begins to seed into other areas of our lives. And then if the spirit of error is there, he is continually trying to reinforce the lie that he fed you. And just because you get saved doesn't erase the lie. Come on. It doesn't erase it. Guys, our database in our life, experience, information, and reinforcement, or how many of us have had conflicting information? Everybody's treated us bad our whole lives, and somebody starts treating us good, and it's such a conflict for you. You either accept the new behavior or you'll actually reject it. Why do little girls that have been in abusive homes, whether it's verbal abuse or whatever, and they'll have a good guy come into their life, they'll reject him. He doesn't match up with their software. Doesn't match up with it. And a lot of times they'll reject God because the truth of the gospel is a little bit too good for them. Oh, I don't deserve that. No, the lie is that you deserved all the things that happened to you. And so when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, what He's trying to get over to you may be in conflict with truths and ideologies that you have already developed, the philosophies you've already developed in your life came from the spirit of error and the lies the enemy sowed into your life. And God's trying to upgrade your software and to get rid of the viruses. And so there's this conflict going on back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That's why meditating on the Word is so important. And having respect for it. This book right here has more truth in it than you'll ever comprehend. And its truth trumps your experience. We found out that the word truth, when Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free," that Greek word, I believe it was mino, if I'm remembering right, I don't have it in my notes. One of the ways that it can be translated is in reality. This is what happened to you, but in reality, this is who you are. You see, the hardest part of getting people established in truth is to get them to have a mindset of truth, because everything they already have here is the opposite of truth and doesn't want truth in there. And so they hear truth and they skew truth to match their lie. That's why we have people now that can read the Word of God, and when God explicitly says, thou shalt not, what they see is, it's all right. And not just about their sexuality, it can be about anything. About anything. Because they have already been well established in a lie. But here's one of the things that was really a kicker for me that God asked me. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we deal with strongholds. Where do the strongholds reside? You have spiritual territory in your life. You have places for lies. You have places for truth. You have places for demonic intelligence. You have a place for the intelligence of the Holy Spirit to be, where the Spirit of God can dwell in you and speak to you. And so here we find the Apostle Paul is telling us, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so this is a soul issue, but we have found out that the soul is divided up into three parts, the conscious, the subconscious, and the unconscious mind. So where in the world does the stronghold reside? In where you remember everything. Your unconscious mind. So a stronghold is affecting you, but it's out of reach. Ain't the devil dastardly? Because what he didn't tell you is, let's say somebody comes along and treats you real bad and does something real bad and it wounds you. And so there's a lie there, and it causes a puffing up or a wounding within your soul. And that same demonic spirit that inspired him to do it can take residence, can seed himself into that stronghold, and can speak to you from that stronghold. A stronghold is a fortified area. I remember the old cowboys and Indian movies we had, and everybody would run back to the fort where they were safe, where the Indians couldn't get in, except it's the reverse. You're on the outside, and that demonic presence is on the inside with the lie. And it's hidden in your unconscious mind, because your unconscious mind is a perception filter. It skews your perception of everything you see, you touch, you smell, of everything that you think. It's the filter. When you somehow or another, when you were a little kid, you discovered that stoves were hot. And so to this day, you know not to touch a flame on a stove or a hot pot, because there's that filter there. And that's good information, isn't it? But what happens if something was a lie that kept you from the blessings of God, that you never reached out for Him? And so this whole time, God's trying to bless you. God's trying to speak to you. God's trying to get you to a place of being greater success, of having greater joy. But your perception filter of the lies that you have had in the past keep them just out of your reach, because you can't grab them by faith, because somehow or another, it's either you don't deserve it or that will burn you. And so I'm sitting there thinking, okay, God, I just can't say a prayer, I bind up every stronghold in my life, and it's all taken care of. I lived it to have it established, and therefore there has to be a living, a working out to take care of it. You just can't say a simple prayer. It's having the trying to write this new stuff of God's commandments and everything so that if something comes up, you can recognize it. It doesn't match up with what I'm reading here. It doesn't match up with what I've been meditating in God's Word. And if it doesn't match up, I need to target that thing. That's a virus. That's something that's bad. That's a lie that I need to bring into captivity to the Lord. And so as I was reading through Psalms 119, this one jumped out. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I read that and I said, what? What are you talking about? And we get people to have theology of the benefit of pain, the benefit of, and it's almost like you have to be tortured to live for Christ type of thing. That's not what he's talking about here. If I go through an affliction and I'm walking with God, that touches with a lie that I've learned in the past. That lie comes forward because it's accessed in my unconscious mind. And if I'm walking with God, and because he's already said in the psalm, I respect your precepts, I meditate on your word, I'm doing these things. So when this affliction came, it touched, it became a touchstone for that lie that the enemy had sent me. Now that thing comes up from the hard drive, if you will. You can access it, and now you establish God's truth with it. God's wanting to bless me, and the devil's want me to sabotage myself that I can't walk in the blessing, and God lets a situation come up that thing comes up, and instead of me going, why does this always happen every time, blah, 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 say, I caught you now. The Holy Spirit's kind of like any Norton's virus. Whenever you went to the wrong kind of website or you did an email, it comes up, it says, warning, this thing is a Trojan horse. What do? Delete it and override it with God's truth. Because in this one area, there has been a lie that's against what God says. And when it comes up, now I can, in that area, now learn thy statutes. I can learn thy truth by taking that thing. And now the weapons of my warfare is I am not, who I am now is not based upon my past. Because my past has some lies in it. My past has some misconceptions in it. Can I give you a really, really easy example? My stepfather kind of used me as a kid. Whenever he'd have a rough day, he'd come home and he would find something to bellyache about. And what I found out, he can bellyache far longer than any preacher could ever preach. And I'd get chewed out for doing the right thing. I'd do what he told me. And if he was in the right mood, I still had a two-hour chewing out on how I was running his life and whatever else. You know, you're running my life because you put the trash up the way it was supposed to be and you put the lid on the can and you picked up the yard. I tell you what, I can never. And reinforced. Now, as I was thinking about this, there was a situation in second grade that I never knew how someone was going to respond to me because of the continual reinforcement of that, even when I did the right thing. And so I was working on a paper for school, and I didn't know how to spell a word, so I went to the dictionary and I looked it up. Well, it started with a G. I can't remember what the word was, but I remember it started with a G. And on typeface in a dictionary, how many know the G is different than what you would write on? And so I wasn't sure what it was, so I just copied it just exactly the way it was. And the teacher came up to compliment me and said, you know, Mike looked up something in the dictionary, and I've been trying to get these kids. She came up and said, where'd you find how to spell that? And instantly, I was covered in fear and denied that I had looked it up in a dictionary. She came to me, it's probably one of the only times that entire year that teacher came to me and was actually going to say something good instead of straighten up, pay attention, quit diddling, quit fiddling, you know. You know. Quit looking out the window, do your work. One time that she could have given me a compliment, the lies of the past shut that down. And how many of us in our lives that God wanted to give us a blessing, God wanted to compliment us, God wanted to take us on, but the anchor the enemy had set in the past had pulled it down. You see, when I really give myself over to God, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden I'm going to have rainbows every day, There's going to be glitter falling from heaven. There's going to be all these wonderful things, and everything's going to be great. God is saying, listen, you're now under my tutelage. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, can allow situations to come up to access the points that are restricting you the greatest so that you can take them, pull them down. The moment that you say, God, I forgive that person, or God, that was a lie, and you plead the blood of Jesus over it, when the fortress comes down, that demonic presence has to leave. I mean, that's easy deliverance. And that thing quit speaking to you. How many times in my life have I tried to move forward, but a voice on the inside always told me that I couldn't? And some people say, well, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit because you're getting too arrogant, you're getting too big for your britches, you're believing God for too much. No, it was the lies of the past speaking to me because they're still circling on that hard drive. I think that's one of the reasons why at first the whole concept of inner healing was very important. Then they got off into crazy stuff. Inner healing is when that thing comes up, Jesus can help me bring healing to that wound by what he did for me at the cross. And the Holy Spirit wants to teach me his precepts. But see, if you don't know this whole thing's there, you just go through the same wound, the same thing over and over and over and over again. And it gets old. I'm tired of being presented with something and giving the wrong response because of something I was taught in the past by the world and the spirit of this world. So God wants to help us. He wants to say, listen, it has been good for me to be afflicted that I might learn thy statutes. This area of my life, I've got to learn your statutes, Father. This is what I call the Apostle Paul's school of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and through 22, I don't know why this thing paginated it this way, but he said, rejoice evermore. Is the first thing to getting God's stuff in you is to rejoice evermore. Always rejoice even through the hard times because it keeps you open to the Holy Spirit to teach you the right thing. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Why do I need to pray without ceasing? Does that mean just to walk around with him? Lord, I praise you. 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 Or if you speak in tongues, do you do that all the time? It means that an attitude of prayer. I'm rejoicing and I'm constantly keeping my ears open to the Holy Spirit so that when through the day Satan tries to trip my trigger, he gets caught. When that lie tries to come up, it gets caught. Rejoicing in the Lord sets the beginning of it. It begins to set it in motion so that my ears can be open, that I can pray. And praying is listening as much as it is speaking, continually, without ceasing, before the Lord. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, he didn't say for everything, it said in everything. In every situation, I give thanks, Lord, because you're wanting to either teach me something to get rid of or you're teaching me something you want me to move into. And as long as I keep an attitude of thanks, I'm getting ready to get a promotion. I'm getting ready to get a revelation. I'm getting ready to catch the devil. I'm getting ready to do something. I start out with praise, listening, and then when the situation comes up, make sure you stay in Christ. Be thankful for it. Why is that so important? How many know Mary and I are different people we were back in 1995 or whenever that was that witch crawled in the van? We thought our life was over. It's just like all of life has just turned to absolute hell. But in the process, we had some things burned into us. We had some things burned out of us. We had Mary and I are no longer the people we were. The devil tries to push us back sometimes into that old mold. But here about a year ago, we were sitting down just kind of talking, you know, how couples will talk and say, you know what, probably one of the best things that ever happened to us was that witch crawled in the van. Best thing that ever happened to us was that the occult came out after us to try to kill us. because it burned up all the stubble, wood, hay, and stubble. It burned up a lot of things, and God was able to replace it with a lot of things. The very reason that I am teaching on Hebraic heritage was not because I went to a conference and I talked with some of the most renowned experts in the field. It's not the reason that I teach Hebraic heritage, because I had done that 5 years earlier. Brought it all home and set it on a shelf. I come under attack, all hell come loose, and all my little the devil was not impressed, the occult covens were not impressed by my little Christian sound bites. It didn't work. And I begin to find out what their modus operandi was and how they were using it against the church, and we had to get rid of paganism. It was all a matter of spiritual warfare. And if that witch had not crawled in the van, I would still be a faith-preaching, charismatic preacher today, and I would have never have taught on the things of the ways of God. But I learned this through the heat of battle. If we hadn't learned this, Mary and I probably wouldn't even exist today. We would have died, because we actually saw them take out pastors, take out other Christians, killed in automobile accidents. All of a sudden they get cancer and die, and all this stuff. We're healthy today, they're dead tomorrow from cancer. Where did that come up? Came from a curse. So we learned this stuff out of spiritual warfare. So in that situation, I can now, in everything, I can give thanks. Thank you, God, that happened, because my eyes were opened. I had to deal a lot of what was happening with me, happened in the past, and replace it with your truth. And I had to find out a lot of my traditions line up with the occult and don't line up with the kingdom of God. And I had to get rid of it. Lord, I thank you for that. And so in the midst of all that, step number here on verse 19, quench not the Spirit of God. As you go into that thing and the Holy Ghost is trying to deal with you, don't quench Him. Yield to Him so that He can show you. And if you don't really get what the Holy Spirit's trying to show you, He's going to come up with a prophet or prophetess who's going to start prophesying over you and start reading your mail. And don't despise prophesying. How many times, Mary and I can tell you this, that we're dealing with something and we'll turn on Christian TV or something, and that dude on the television starts reading our mail. Why? It's the Holy Ghost speaking through him. He's prophesying and doesn't even know it sometimes. Thank God. Why? Because God's trying to rewrite your software, because you're in the school of the Holy Ghost. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things. Is what I'm feeling, does it line up with the Word, or does it line up with the lies of the devil? Was it given to me by the Holy Spirit or the spirit of error? Does it line up with Christ, or does it line up with Antichrist? Where did it come from? What's it doing? As I'm going through all this and God's taking me through this school, don't despise it. Understand that affliction was for a purpose, to bring that up off your hard drive. And now prove it. Prove, examine it. I have found out this, a lie hates examination. The truth loves it. The Holy Ghost loves for you to dig deeper. The Holy Spirit loves for you to ask questions. Why? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Everything in the Word of God, now this is very Hebraic, you can never get to the right answer until you ask the right question. I can give you the answer, but unless you're asking the question, you won't get it. Now, those of us with a little gray on top of our heads, how many of us, when we were younger, we heard an answer to something because we were not ready to receive it? We still continued on in our folly until one day we woke up. It's like me in the military. The military training that I got, the discipline part that I got, is serving me better the older I get. I rejected all of it when I was a kid. But I went in the Army at 18. I was out 7 years later. And so I rejected all that. I was a horrible soldier, because I was so full of rebellion by the lies that were in the past. And I had wondered one day, I said, Lord, I'd just like to be able to thank somebody one of these days for this, what I had received when I was in the military. And here a couple years ago, I sat down on an airplane and there was a retired full bird colonel, airborne ranger, sitting right next to me. Him and I got in a conversation. I said, sir, I said, I never got to do this when I was in the military. I said, I was a guy that probably should have stayed a private, made it all the way to a spec four, but my attitude, I should have been a private without a stripe, because I rejected all the discipline the Army taught me. But now I'm finding out it's more important to me than about any other lesson in life that I've ever learned. I just want to thank you for that. I don't know if he really received it or not, but to me it was healing. And I'm using it now more. You see, sometimes the things that come up in life with us, and the Holy Spirit's doing some things in life, if he can get you to ask the right question, he can get you to that stronghold to pull it down. Come on. And once he gets you to ask the right question, there becomes a bullseye on that target. And he said, let me tell you something. Oh, Lord, that's a big bullseye. What am I going to do? And he says, got a rock? Just take one pebble of truth and throw it at that thing. It'll come down. Because all of the devil's lies work in secret. The minute they hit the light of day, they fall apart. That's one of the tactics that we're seeing now. Do you notice anymore in America, the people that would be on the side that we would consider wrong, they don't want to debate. They name call. The moment you talk about this, you're a phobic. You're a hater. They don't want to talk about the issues. They throw accusations at you to deflect the possibility of bringing the entire conversation in the light of day. Which is exactly what the devil does to you. Don't look at that man behind the curtain! Why? Because he's a wimp and he's a liar and he's defeated! The Holy Ghost says, go ahead and rip that curtain open. Let me show you what's been ruining your life. That lie from that dirty dog the devil did to you when you were 7 years old. Somebody didn't treat you right and you respected them. Or some teacher in school taught you something that wasn't right and you respected them and you just received that lie. You drank it down like the poison Kool-Aid it was. And God is saying, open that thing up. I want to show you what it is and you're going to get rid of it. So don't despise when the Holy Spirit's working on you. But prove all things. And make sure that in this entire process, you abstain from all appearance of evil. You don't know how many times that one, verse 22, has kept Mike Lake out of a whole lot of trouble. One of the reasons I keep the door locked up here, if I'm working by myself, you know, all it would take was a woman working for their side coming in and making a false accusation. And we've just about had that happen a couple of times. They tried it. Or I don't give a woman a ride in my car unless my wife's with me. There are certain things you don't do. There's a reason why when Joseph, when that woman dropped her clothes, he didn't sit there and argue the ethics of it. He ran. Was because sometimes that's the best option. Don't put yourself in that situation. I met a lot of guys in the military that sat there and tried to argue and fell into sin. Found out her name was Delilah. And sinned instead of just getting out of there. Don't allow yourself to be put in that situation. Because if you do, you're going to have to end up starting the whole process all over again because you're going to be reinforced of a lie. You see, if we can't take care of what I've been talking about this morning, you're never going to be established in truth. It's going to be a hodgepodge of a little truth here, a little truth there, lies here, how many, and skewed truth. The most dangerous truth of all is skewed truth. It sounds good, but it skews off in the wrong direction. That's why God says, don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Stay right in the middle of the road where I am with this truth, and don't let your experiences... Oh, guys... If you have a stronghold and the spirit of error has been working in your life, you have never experienced truth. And yet we have people today says that word can't be true because I experienced this. You weren't walking in that. You were walking in the other. And what God's trying to get us to do is to line up so that our hardware, our software, and everything else within us lines up with His kingdom so that He can have us walk the way He needs us to be able to bless us. When I get this down, for the first time as I go through this process of initially cleansing and letting the Holy Spirit work on me, I can start perceiving truth because my perception filters will lean toward truth instead of the denying of truth. This, our past is how the enemy blinds our minds to the truth of the gospel.
That's right.
And the gospel is more than about salvation. It's the gospel of the kingdom. The good news of how to enter into the kingdom, how to walk in the kingdom, and in this next life be ready to flow in that kingdom for eternity is the gospel of the kingdom. That's where God wants us. And so I've got to yield to the school of the Holy Spirit and make sure I don't have an attitude, the wrong kind, as I'm going through it, because that affliction might be just for a moment, but it's to bring up a lie of the past to remove it forever out of your life. Because it's time for us to have a pure operating system of heaven operating within our soul. And the lies brought down. And the freer you get, the more people operating in the old operating system stick out like a sore thumb. You'll say, "Dear God, I used to be like that. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me from the way they think, the way they do." Because all it does is create more misery in their lives. But now by the way that I'm thinking, the way that I'm doing, my thoughts, my words, and my actions are in line with this word. It produces the results this word promises. And I'm starting to get better things. I got the peace of God in my life. I got the blessings of God in my life. And I want to move deeper in those things. And now I'm finally to a place, as we allow God to do this, to begin taking us into truth and removing the lie. Father, I just thank you for your word this morning. Father, I thank you that your word is true and that everything this world has to say contrary to the word of God is a lie. And Father, I just invite the Holy Spirit this week to come and to minister to us. Father, let us enter the school of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to move us into truth and to move us away from the lies so that we can begin having sustainable victory in our lives, we ask. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name.